Should we just state that the background noise is not, we're not on a train driving or training through the, you know, the backs of India.
But that's the, I guess that's the beauty of audio, is that we can create and construct a story. So for all intents and purposes, we could be.
We're on a train through the backlogs of India on a journey.
Of epic proportion.
Of fatherhood.
Conversely, we might just be sitting in your garage with the laundry going in the background. But
it's like I was just saying to you before we started recording, when my wife said, hey, I'm going to turn the washing machine on in your studio.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, of course, because I want clean undies.
Everybody wants clean undies.
Would you rather clean undies or pristine audio?
I'm going to offend a lot of people when I say it, but probably clean undies. Probably clean undies.
Oh.
I'm trying to find another saying other than "and with that," but "and with that," we are into episode 8 of the Red Dads podcast.
We made it.
8. That's like a lucky number in some cultures, isn't it?
Well, it's a number of infinity.
Well, it's true.
Feels like...
Does that mean we're going to be doing this for the rest of our lives?
Maybe. Or it just means that we have to keep acting like there's infinity hours in every day.
That's also possibly part of the part of it. Yeah, so episode number 8. I think what's crazy is again, I have to start by saying a big shout out to those people that are actually getting on iTunes and downloading the podcast. It's super, super humbling.
It's a buzz, eh? It's a buzz, man, to know that other people actually find the content engaging.
Mm.
But, you know, you were telling me that you had a moment of listening to the podcast with your family members and you guys actually enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's funny because you get so much into the habit of making, and I have to admit that there are some times where, and even when you're editing it, you'll attest to this too, Will. You almost disengage that part of your brain where you actually let it absorb into your conscience or your consciousness of exactly what it is that you might be talking about. You're thinking about, you know, cuts and does it transition right? But sometimes you just are in such a mission hurry to get it out and kind of do it. You don't get to sort of sit in the content and sit in what you were talking about. And yeah, we did that on Sunday night. It was funny. It was really nice to hear people laughing and having fun and agreeing. For no other reason than it seemed like it resonated. So
yeah, man.
In the countercultural practice of yay us,
high five. I met. Can I say this? Yeah, I can say this. One of my students this year is from Kazakhstan.
Oh, really?
And it's really hard because the first thing that I thought about was Borat. And I, you know, imagine if you're from Kazakhstan and everyone said to you, like, oh, it's like, you know, so we're from New Zealand. When you go overseas and you're like New Zealand, they're like,
g'day, mate.
Dan Carter, All Blacks. You know, even in America, they were doing that to me.
Yeah.
But if you're from Kazakhstan, I'm pretty sure people would just say, Borat.
Yeah.
I like.
It's funny, eh? Because it's, again, I think that's one of the things that, you know, I think is often popular and becoming more and more of a popular topic. Excuse us while our jet plane takes off.
Yeah, it's moving into phase 2, which is we've done soak. Now we're going into pre-wash. It's a front loader as well, so it's a turny-turny.
Turny-turny thing. Yeah. It's mesmerizing to watch.
It's the modern day campfire. Like, hey, you want to be happier? Get your friends around and watch a washing machine.
Oh, stop. As I was saying, I can't even remember what I was saying.
Was it something about robots doing their first shift in McDonald's?
No, it was actually going to be on political correctness.
Oh, okay.
But
let's park the robot stuff for later.
Yeah. No, it was just that thing that I think it's really great. I feel really privileged that Will and I get to experience firsthand just how important a sense of cultural appropriateness and cultural identity is within a learning context. And that's not meant to sound like some sort of airy-fairy, mamby-pamby sort of fluff, but it's actually really cool how we get to experience firsthand just how much it means to people to be recognized for their cultural context and where they come from. And I think from a parenting perspective, it only serves to really, really underline more than just the rules of our family or the way our family does things, but actually the need to kind of transcend that and be really, really mindful of the culture of your family. Being able to acknowledge heritage, being able to acknowledge where we come from so that we might understand where we're going, and having all of that conversation and, I guess, unpacking some of the why we do things, because we get to see it firsthand in some of our students coming through our day job and just how much cultural context means to them. And, I can only begin to imagine how much it means to our kids when we're able to come at parenting from a culturally appropriate context as well. You talked about your student from Kazakhstan. Like, there's just so much to learn in that. Actually, being able to break that stereotype and recognize them for being not Borat.
Exactly. Well, I had an awesome chat with her, and she was like, "Hey, people in New Zealand are really friendly."
Yeah.
And why does it take a person who's not from New Zealand to remind us that?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we are really friendly. And she's like, why are people saying hello to me? I'm like, well, that's just how we roll sometimes. You know? Small country, and it's like a little tribe. And, you know, most often New Zealanders will give each other the benefit of the doubt.
Mm.
That's maybe changing a little bit with this online sphere. But generally, it's like, you know, going to the neighbors for a cup of sugar was a thing.
Yeah, totally, totally. We've, as we discussed on the last podcast, obviously, we've recently moved. And one of the things that I was kind of sad to leave behind was two sets of neighbors that really embodied everything that was, or it is, to be just an awesome Kiwi family. A couple of older, two older couples. That had just a really genuine interest in making sure that everything was okay. They knew how to look out for people without standing on their toes, and really just embodied that welcoming spirit that's characterized so much of, growing up in New Zealand.
Yeah. It makes you think, though, we've often talked about it too, that it's like our generation, which could be the first in a long time that doesn't own a house.
Mm.
And also, it's like we're also the first generation too, which is really I won't say first. I'm sure there's people out there going, what are you talking about? I did all the things you're doing. Involved with their kids. And that comes with a risk, because it's like we had the pleasure of this phrase being muttered at us. See you later.
Mm.
See you when the sun goes down.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's almost like, well, can you still say that to kids? It's like, hey, school's finished. See you at 6.
Yeah.
It's almost like we've bred our children now. They'd be like, what?
The dependence.
What do you mean? You need to take me here and then there, and then you need to feed me.
Yeah.
You know? But again, it's like, I'm not saying the old way was awesome. I'm always just trying to find out what's the best of both worlds, you know?
Yeah, and I think that there's massive opportunities for our kids to be given autonomy and responsibility within a modern context as well. You know, on the flip side of that autonomy that we were given as kids, I don't think I ever would have had the skills or the wherewithal to create and to make things on the level that kids are doing today.
Mm.
I just think, again, it's like anything. On some level, the system has changed, but on another level, that same opportunity is there. You've just got to shift your perspective.
Yeah.
You know, being brave.
As we move into the third cycle, we're going into first spin.
Oh, first
spin. Wait till last spin.
Oh,
we probably won't be recording then, but It's a boom, 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 boom.
Oh, wow. It's like helicopter.
It's like where we are in that car in Elon Musk's rocket.
Oh, man. Tell you what, that was a little parenting win. Yeah. And, for it's completely unrelated, but our kids love to role play. They got all their chairs out, and we're like pretending to be in an aeroplane because we're trying to find that balance between device time and just having a bit of imaginary play. And so they lined up all the chairs and pretended they were in an aeroplane. And one of them looks up, and we're in the new house. We've got a ceiling fan, and he goes, "Oh no, we're not in an aeroplane. We're in a helicopter." And I don't know why, but I was just like, "That's cool." He just kind of went, "Oh, right, imagination, connect the dots."
And then you said, "Okay, you're 108 meters off the ground, and I'll be at the bottom trying to catch."
I'll lie on the floor and I'll try and catch a rugby ball.
That's awesome, mate.
Yeah. You mentioned before,
Terminator cooking us breakfast.
Yeah, robot flipping burgers, burger flipping robots,
burger fuel. I don't know.
Brought to you by Burger Fuel. Give us a call.
Brought to you by the T800. Advanced prototype with metal pellet alloy. Don't know how I remember that. A learning computer.
I found an article, a video today of there's a burger chain in California that is rolling out 50 robots across the franchise. They're AI enabled. And they are able to sense and perfectly cook burgers to order 12 at a time. They cost, I think, $60,000 and then $12,000 a year to run. So significantly cheaper than a person.
Right.
And so I think, again, what it does is we gotta have our knee-jerk reaction, which is usually always fear. And then we see beyond that and we go, wow, where's the opportunity in this? Where is the opportunity in this from a vocational perspective? Where's the opportunity in this from a parenting perspective? And I guess trying to keep the sort of the fatherhood, dad, parenting hat on, it's really interesting thinking about that's the world our kids are going into when it comes to, you know, you talk about responsibility and being given the leash. Like my dad, you know, the loving, caring fella that he is, which he is, but obviously there's lots of stories about my dad. I had a job at the service station pumping gas when I was 12, and that was only after probably 6 to 12 months of berating me to get a job until I said, screw it, Dad, and I sat down and I rang everybody in the phone book until someone gave me a job. We now have technology that is taking the place of those entry-level jobs, those things that you do in order to flex and learn and build that muscle of responsibility. That those things that we have just taken for granted as I guess the gateway or the entry point into the world. And so again, I think it's the challenges is how do we shift our perspective to see the new opportunities that technology is enabling for our kids in terms of how we flex that muscle. It's terrifying. No one's going to say that it's not, but it's also, on the other hand, so incredibly exciting because I think what you see is the distance between where our kids are in school and big, big wide world of business and opportunity and kind of being an adult is actually getting closer.
Mm, agreed.
You know, because you see the number of stories of young entrepreneurs going out, starting businesses, being successful, and they're getting to flex that muscle, not making or flipping burgers, but running their own companies.
Yeah.
Being their own CEs and CEOs. And often being incredibly successful. And so I think in that we've got to get out of this thinking or this deficit mindset that says that actually my kids aren't allowed to have that opportunity because I didn't. You know, I worked my butt off pumping gas, and that was the way in which I understood the world works. And like, how you're going to be able to have the opportunity to go and start your business and be successful and probably make more money than I am now. You're going to have a crap job, and you're going to learn how the world, the way the world works. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I'm fast learning that that's just not a sustainable mindset, because that's not going to be reality. Yeah, and it's just, I guess it's just interesting to think about how many of those pathways into adulthood that we're now in control of for our kids, how much of our perspective of those is controlled by our own personal bias in terms of what we believe our kids are allowed to have and not allowed to have, as opposed to looking at from the perspective of what's actually on offer. So yeah, it's interesting.
It's super interesting, and it's all of the above. It's scary, it's awesome, it's confronting, it's liberating, you know? Mm. I love the fact that my kid's first job might be with me, not at Miniput. You know, and it's really cool that I'm thinking that way, that, and I'm sure you are too. It's like, well, we'll do this thing so we can make our own money, and we can, you know, produce content, or we can do this, or we can do that, and we will do it together.
Yeah.
And I see the robot flipping burgers as a symbol for soon it will be building houses, soon it will be pumping gas, soon it will be doing all of those manual labor jobs that traditionally we have put on as like a rite of passage. But the rite of passage will be just like as dads now, it's not required of us to fight to show masculinity. We do it from time to time. We do still enjoy parts of that, and we should still embrace that. But it's not the mainstay. There's other ways of doing it. And it will be the same for people coming through. You know, it's like you don't have to suffer. You will suffer in other ways. You know, you will suffer in trying to work out, I need to get off my phone at 11 at night. We didn't have to worry about that. We know you did have nothing to do at 11.
Yeah.
So the option is to go to sleep. Yeah. It's like you were bored because you had nothing to do. Now you actually have something to do. So you will suffer in a different way. And I believe a certain amount of suffering is fine. It's just as long as it's a valid way of, you know, trying to get through this human experience, you know.
And it's funny because I think you and I were brought up in a world where we were taught to value certainty. I think as humans, we're taught to value certainty. But I think where our parenting will shift is, you know, it's something that I'm sort of discussing and working through with a bunch of people at work at the moment, is the shift from certainty to safety. So, again, as change becomes more and more of a constant, and things do constantly shift under our feet, how do we shift from this idea of and it's the whole safety certainty paradigm is really interesting and quite pervasive, in that often certainty can present itself as safety, but in reality it's actually certainty. It's the idea of certainty makes people feel safe, as opposed to it being inherently safe.
Well, and also, like, being safe also means you'll make decisions that aren't always the right ones.
Yeah.
Because if it's about, no, certain.
Yeah, being certain.
Being certain, sorry. Because for me, the safety comes with being able to know that in the moment, I can go to the resources that I've earned myself to find my way out. You know, I'm ready for pretty much anything you throw at me. Even my new outlook on life, which is like, 50% of the world is chaos. So acknowledge it, see it for where it is, and know that the other 50 is like the opposite to that, the light, you know, and it's like they have to work in tandem. And if you have certainty, then I guarantee it's like not acknowledging the chaos. You know, that's where you get people who are just like super strung out because they've chosen pay over happiness.
Yeah.
And I don't want happiness to be the metric, but I'm saying that that's what we're offering at the moment. It's like, go to Sylvia Park on the weekend, spend all your money, because it will make you feel better.
Mm. You know? Exactly. And it's, and again, that's the idea, and that's a shift for our kids, is, you know, we are brought up to want to stay in the same house, in the same suburb, and because where there was this fear of uncertainty that somehow it would be become or be projected on our kids is them feeling unsafe. But I think that that, again, therein lies the challenge, is that if change is the constant and is the inevitability in this brave new world of burger flipping robot, our mandate or our requirement as parents is to how do you develop and breed a culture of safety in your kids. And I can only, again, I'm no expert, but I can only help but link safety directly to a really strong, well-developed sense of identity. If your kids know who they are, what they, you know, what their family stands for, where they come from, and the things that they value, that will only ever have a direct correlation to an increased sense of safety. And it's often, I think, when you've got so many factors that are coming into that sense of identity space and competing for your kids' attention, I think it's really important that not that you impose yourself on that situation, but you engage in that conversation with your kid and wrestle through with them what's important to them when it comes to who they believe themselves to be.
I reckon one super awesome thing that I just try and do regardless all the time for my safety is just like, last thing is just telling them you love them, eh, at night. Yep. It's like such a simple, and you know, most of the time you're around, so either it's in the morning or an evening, it's like, I love the fact that that's the last thing, because really it's like, what else is there apart from that, you know? Mm. And we've talked about it before, it's like, how the hell do you kind of quantify what that even means? And
yeah,
it's just like a feeling, and we're in this world now where feelings are kind of worth diddly squat, and it's all about kind of metrics and data, and it's like, it's, I love the fact that that still is this kind of blind spot, that it's just so simple, but it's so awesome too, you know? Like shame on people who go through life without telling others they love them, you know? Don't love them, sorry.
Yeah.
It's like, I understand that comes with a lot of baggage, particularly if you're older generation, but so what? You know, it's like,
build a bridge.
Shed that, you know, skin and get on board, you know? And it's like, there's certain things that just aren't bad for you.
No,
and,
exactly.
And it's like, you know, telling your kid you love them, like, not bad.
Not at all. And yeah. I think it's that one thing that fuels their sense of purpose in life. You know, and I think that's the one thing that will transcend everything, is as if they, you know, if your kid has a really well-developed and strong sense of purpose, and that purpose may change, but for any given time and place, they know the purpose to which they align themselves, then, again, that sense of safety, and like you say, can only be increased. So, yeah, lots of real quite heady, meaty stuff today. But again, as always, we like to make sure that we can bring it back down to reality. And more than anything else, we want to say big props to the people that are hearing this conversation and wanting to engage with it, wanting to actually go, you know what? I've got to try and figure out my version of this, because, you know, much like when we walked out onto that helipad and
speaking of helipads, we're into phase 4.
We're about to take off.
Super, super soap wash.
You know, we walked out onto that helipad and the helicopters were there and the TV crew, and we'd already won. And like you and I have talked about so many times, the fact that we're even talking about this stuff puts you head and shoulders above anyone that's being enveloped by this apathy and terror that somehow humanity is inherently evil and wants to get us. You know, you talk about the robots coming, and it's like, more than the robots coming, an entire new system of value, how we choose to value people over things. I firmly believe that that's coming, because, you know, in terms of time and space, capitalism has run its course. It's served its purpose, And we're now at the dawn of
justice.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's a Superman thing.
But you know what I mean? It's like, I think we're, you know, things are genuinely set to change, and it's going to be an opportunity for humanity to show. I guess we're in that space where you either believe that we're able to do the right thing or we're not, and it becomes actually quite a simple decision to make. You're either going to be terrified and believe that everybody's out to get you, or you're going to be brave enough to look at the guy next to you and say, actually, you and I can make this world a better place if we work together.
Boom.
So, yeah.
Epic. Greg, I'm going to ask a favor of you.
What's that?
I'm going to quickly go down the hall because we're expecting a guest.
Yeah.
So the guest who's coming into the Dad Cave this week is Ali Ikram.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude, got a lot of kind of cool stories. Well, he's been part of cool stories as a reporter and comms guy and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to ask Greg to kind of like sign the podcast off while I'm down the hall. If you want to have any final thoughts, it will be you talking to yourself in my laundry with a machine running.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, embrace the awkwardness. And so I'm going to sign off now and I'll leave you to Greg.
The really awkward part is the fact that I kind of got nothing else to say. But anyway, as per usual, if you haven't already joined us in the online community, Facebook, /RadDadsNZ. You can contact us anytime. RadDads New Zealand, forwards NEWZEALAND @gmail.com. Or if you see us walking down the street, hit us up and let's have a conversation. Look forward to seeing more of you dads involved. And like I say, if all else fails, go grab your significant other and your kids. Give them a hug. Tell them that you love them. Till next time. See you guys.